Welcome to the Van Hack Podcast, the podcast for tech talent that wants to get hired abroad.
I would like to introduce you all to our first keynote speaker, Gustavo Miranda, who has worked for more than 13 years as a software engineer and 6 years as a university professor and lecturer. Last year, he joined the Van Hack Premium Academy, and he's now working for an amazing Canadian company. He's going to tell you all about technical interview tips for software engineers.
Hi, thank you. Thank you very much, Izan.
Thank you so much. The floor is yours now.
Okay, thank you. So, yes, Izan has already introduced me, and I would like to share a lot of knowledge with you all, and thank you very much for you. So let me share my screen. Today we are going to talk a little bit about technical knowledge. So, yes, I hope you can see my screen. Yes. So, here are my contacts. You can keep in contact with me. You can find me on Slack. You can find me on this LinkedIn page. Also, I have a YouTube channel. I'm not publishing videos right now, but I have some there. And here's my GitHub account. But yes, so I'm working as a DevOps engineer, and I'm also a Van Hack interview. Actually, I'm a technical instructor once a week as a hobby. But I would like to share with you a little bit about the process of getting a job abroad. So let's start. Okay, here. So what's the idea of this presentation? It's actually for you to improve your knowledge. So the idea of technical interview tips is for you to keep practicing every day. So first, what's the agenda today? So I will talk about the process of getting the job abroad and keep improving your technical knowledge, code challenges, and system design problems. After all of this, I will be talking about how you should enjoy the process. So let's go. Yeah, first thing, it is a process. I'm not talking about relocation process, other things like this. The process of getting this job abroad, the process of improving in your career, it's a process. We need to keep studying. You, all of you are probably fantastic engineers and are working for some years in this career, and you know that we need to keep updated, keep studying every day. So that's the idea. It's not about interviews, and that's why I like to be always studying. I like to be here with you all today. And we all know that the daily tasks can be very repetitive. I mean, you are usually doing some create, read, update, delete operations on your job. You are probably not doing very different things or designing complex problems in your daily basis. And maybe it's hard for you to keep studying and improving alone. So maybe it would be better for you to be sharing knowledge with more people and not only with people on your job. So that's why I like to study with my friends. I like to study with you candidates from Van Hack. And I say that it's important for us to sometimes get out of the box and look what is around, new technologies, also study new technologies, and study again algorithms and data structures, because as you probably know, most of the interviews will be related to code challenges and system design problems. But not only this, you should be studying because you will improve your job every day, because you will be studying new technologies. You can propose new things to your team, to your manager. You will be always improving yourself. And practice system design. That's another thing that is important. It's not every day that you are designing something from scratch, but you will be always creating a new class, a new API, or something new. And when you have a lot of practice, you know how to, for example, propose good names for functions, for classes, with unique responsibility for those classes, and things like this, you will be improving. So when I say it's a process, I mean, it's not about interviews. It's about you keep studying. And the idea of the Van Hack Premier Academy is actually this, for you to keep studying and sharing knowledge with people around the globe and becoming a better professional. So, about code challenges. Code challenges is something that I see that many people sometimes feel that they don't know how to code anymore, or they never learned how to code. When they see a code challenge, like for example, could you find two numbers which the sum will be a specific target? That's that looks like a weird problem, but it's actually how we can see if you can think properly how to solve that problem and propose a good solution and understand about time complexity, space complexity, and other things. So let's talk about code challenges. First thing, the tip here is for you to choose a programming language. And this programming language can be any programming language. It can be C#, Java, Python, JavaScript, whatever. But know a lot about this programming language. You should know what's the complexity of, for example, sorting with that complex that language that you chose. So you would know that when you use something like array.sort, you know the complexity of this function. And when you are doing something, I don't know, maybe some language like Python and C#, you are capable of doing a lot of things with just a single line. You need to know the complexity of that line, how that function is implemented. So those things are very important. Forget about autocomplete and colorful text, because maybe you need to, in an interview, maybe you will be writing code in a notepad, for example, or some kind of platform where you can share code with your interview in real time. The time complexity is another thing here, very important, because when you're writing code, how can we know if your code is better than the previous one or not, for example? If you say, oh, my code run in 5 minutes, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't make sense at all, because we cannot use time, as we know, with minutes, seconds, to measure something, because as you know, the computer is always improving. It's becoming faster. So something that it was slow on my old computer, maybe now it will look faster, but maybe that's not the best solution of an algorithm. So that's why you need to study time complexity. And you will use, for example, the Big O notation to say that your algorithm takes, based on the input, Big O of N. So we need to iterate through all the elements in an array to properly process something, to do something. Another thing is space complexity. How much space do you need with your proposed solution? Do you need to create another data structure where you need to copy everything from the input of a function and do this for some reason? Maybe you want to search for something faster. So we'll use this other data structure. So that's why you need to know about space complexity. How much space and memory you are going to use? We don't use, say, megabytes, gigabytes, or something like this. We'd say, also based on the Big O, in the worst case, how much space you will need, depending on the size of the input that you are receiving your function. Data structures, that's another thing that we need to study a lot and keep studying, because we need to remember those data structures. We need to have this in mind, because sometimes a problem we will show to you and you are not going to use a list or an array list. You know that many of us use list, array list for everything, but that's not something actually fast. So you need to do to use data structures, specific data structures for specific problems. Like, for example, for search, what would you use for search? You can use a list, iterate through the list, and search for the element that you are looking for. It will take Big O of N, because you need to verify in each position all N elements if that position is the element that you are looking for. But it takes Big O of N. The worst case, you need to iterate through all the positions. So you can use, for example, binary search. Binary search allows you to always divide by half the input, or you can use something like a dictionary, hash map, hash table, or an ordered map. Depending on the language, you use a different name for the same data structure. So if you're going to use a dictionary, the best case would be to find this, and the medium case would be to always find the element that you're looking for and Big O of one, because you just take what you are looking for, use a hash function, calculate, and you'll know in which position you should look for that specific element. So that's why you should know data structures. And design thinking. You should show to your interviewer and also in your daily basis, you should show that you can explain how you're solving a specific problem, how you're tackling that specific problem. And that's what an interviewer wants to see from you. So let's see here. Why code challenges are so important? Because they are algorithms. And algorithms are actually what we are doing. What we do here is coding. And coding is creating and implementing algorithms. So that's why they are so important. And that's one of the ways that a company can evaluate if you are a good candidate or a not good candidate, or not ready yet, not prepared. So that's why you should prepare yourself every day. So let's talk about a simple search. If you're going to create something like you're creating your own web search engine called here Search Forever, and then you type VanHack, you're looking for VanHack, you're using a SQL database, okay? So with a SQL database, and you're using the most simple command, you can use something like. You can use select everything from web pages where the content is like the term that you're looking for. So I ask you, what's the complexity of this algorithm? That's an algorithm. So the complexity of this algorithm is actually the goal of n times n. What I mean with this is that you have n elements in your table. For example, imagine that you have a table called web pages, and you are searching for something here. You're looking for VanHack. Then you need to, in the worst case, the data that you're looking for will be in the last position of this database. So VanHack will be here, this 200 billion positions. And you will be, it will take a lot of time. Actually, it takes much more than 10 minutes to look for this VanHack here. If you consider that each position has, for example, 1,000 characters here in the content, and you're looking for something that has the content that you're looking for. So that's why it matters. It matters a lot, actually. Also, to choose the perfect technology for the problem that you are trying to solve, that's very important. So for example, if you're going to use to do a lot of search, like full text search, you are not going to use a like command from SQL properly, probably. You're going to use a technology like Elasticsearch or Lucene, Solr, I don't know. You're going to use something that is specific used for search. And that's something that you are going to propose in your job. That's something that you can propose in an interview. If they request for you to do something like a search problem, to solve a searching problem. So here's an example how Elasticsearch works. If you see here, actually I would have here also the document frequency for all the documents, but imagine that I only have the document frequency for VanHack. Elasticsearch internally, it uses Lucene. It's actually a dictionary. So if you have here, for example, the term VanHack, we can see that the VanHack, that is the last document that we have here in this database, it has the VanHack word appear in the URL and also in the content three times. So I would answer that VanHack is here using the hash function that we were talking about, where you can quickly find the term that you're looking for, and the term will be linked to the documents that has this term. So that's really fast. Actually, it's more complicated than this. If I show you here an example, if you look for VanHack, it has different scores for what you're looking, because VanHack would have here, for example, a score of 4, because it could find on the content in the URL the VanHack word. But also, if you have, for example, VanHack appeared in the Forbes webpage, you can consider that it has always also two times it appeared the VanHack word. And the VanHack also appeared in the BIV, Business Intelligence for BC, British Columbia, three times. So the order of the results of this search will be VanHack as the first result, the BIV as the second result, and the Forbes as the third result. What I mean with this is that when you are talking with an interviewer or in your job about a technology, you should talk about details of that technology. You should go and be able to dive deep into that technology, not just say, oh, we should use Elasticsearch. No, the idea is that you consider that you are a professional, that you're always trying to improve, and you know how things work, maybe not with all the details, but at least a little bit. That makes you a different professional. So that's really nice. Okay, I will be, at the end, I will be open for questions, so I will be just continue right now, but let's see a little bit more examples. Another example here, pretty fast, is VanHack News. If you're searching for VanHack News, now it's different, because when you look for VanHack News, imagine that the page of VanHack that you have in your database, all the content of the page, VanHack only appear in the URL and in the content. And the document 2 appears not only the VanHack that is appears only two times, but also the news is appearing here, as you can see, in the URL and also in the content. So the total of score of the Forbes document page would be 6. Another one would be for BIV, where you have the VanHack with the score of 3 and the news will be the URL appear once and the content once. So here the result will be the Forbes will be score 6, BIV 5, and then Hack 4. So that's an example of how Elasticsearch works with not so many details. There are other things very important here. Yes. So where to study and practice code challenges? First thing, you should, if you have already done a university course or if you have ever studied this before, you should just review a little bit. My recommendation, the book Introduction to Algorithms from Thomas H. Carman. And also, obviously, the Cracking the Coding interview, the Bible of interviews. So this book from Gail McDowell has a lot of problems for you to solve. It's a bestseller. And this book is preparing you for big tech companies, but also for all the companies that are and Van Hack, that are fantastic companies, and they are going to become bigger and bigger. Some of them I know that are already unicorns. But yes, so to practice, you can use HackerRank, also LeetCode, CodeSino, and many other online platforms where you can practice coding, because it's easy for the platform to evaluate your solution, because it can run against test cases and it will check if you were able to solve those problems or not. Another thing that you can do is to do mock interviews. So we can use a platform called Brink that is open, that is free. So you can just schedule a time with someone around the globe where you're going to be interviewed by this person and you're going to also interview this person. Brink, there sometimes you will be scheduling an interview with someone that is not very familiar with a specific problem. Maybe you are not going to learn a lot, but you have already done a specific problem that be shown to you, and you can share your knowledge with someone else. Another one is Van Hack Premium Academy, obviously the one that I really like, because what we see here is really amazing professionals working in many different companies around the globe, where you can share your knowledge, where you can practice English, and you will be also updating, because there is always someone trying to bring in something new. Oh, there is this new technology. It can be used, for example, for stream processing or this other thing. And that's nice, because sometimes when you're at your job, you're sharing knowledge always with the same people. It's nice to be exposed to other people and talk about technologies. So that's why I see that the Van Hack Premium Academy is not only for interviews. It's for you to keep improving, keep practicing, and keep studying with other people. So system design problems. Real-world problems. System design problems are a little bit different from the coding challenges. System design problems are focused on real-world problems. When we are talking about system design, it's different when you're interviewing for doing an online code challenge. Because online code challenges, you probably know how to solve a specific problem, and you need to practice a lot to be able to solve, and you will not be able to, for example, show your previous knowledge, something that you have already done in your job. Like, for example, you solved a specific concurrency problem using a specific technology. You cannot do something like this. So they are really nice because it's an open question. You can answer your interviewer showing all your knowledge, previous knowledge. You can talk about if you have ever worked with, for example, a NoSQL database, you can propose to solve a problem like this using NoSQL database or a SQL database, a specific language for something specific, a caching solution, content delivery network. If you have knowledge related to cloud architecture, you can show if you have security knowledge, you can share your knowledge. If you have ever worked, for example, with a specific framework, you can talk about it. And that's really nice. You can receive home challenges. So they can just request you, for example, to implement an API or a project or something. That's happening a lot. And that's maybe even more fair than just code challenges, because you can show all the design patterns that you know, everything that you know. So you can show solutions with tools that you are familiar with, use design patterns, show all your knowledge. There is no right answer. So that's really nice. So it can be a project, as I said, a challenge. They would say something like design an API that does, I don't know, manage customers or do something like manage orders of an online store or something. Common system design challenges are design a parking lot system. You can find this in many places on the internet, and we also this kind of problems that they are practiced in the VanHack Premium Academy. The URL shortener. How would you design your own URL shortener, like tiny URL? Then you need to think about dictionaries. If you need to think about scalability, because there are many people going to use this. LRU cache. How would you design your own least recently used cache, like Redis? Autocomplete. Autocomplete is another feature that is used everywhere, and it's very interesting how it works. You can you have a specific data structure called try that you can use for this. You have another. You can also just create your own dictionary of dictionaries to solve this kind of problem. It's those are very interesting problems, but it's in very common system design challenges. Harder system design challenge would be, how would you design your own chat service like WhatsApp, Telegram? How would you design your own file sharing service like Dropbox, Google Drive? And if you have cloud knowledge, you can talk about using the AWS S3 or the storage from Azure and other things. Hide service. How would you design your own Uber system design? So ticketing system. How would you design your own ticketing system? If you are and you need to something in real time, for example, to specific book a seat in an airplane or in a theater, and you want to book that seat in real time, and nobody else will be able to do this. Are you going to use WebSockets or what are you going to do? Streaming platforms like YouTube and Netflix, whatever, you need to generate so many videos that will be available with different resolutions. How are you going to deliver this content also? Social network. You should create your own Facebook, for example, or not an entire system, obviously. You don't have time. Usually an interview is 45 minutes with an interviewer for you to work on a specific problem. Then they will probably request for you, for example, for Facebook, how would you design your own news feed of Facebook? Are you going to use a select in a SQL database? It needs to scale. How are you going to solve this problem, for example? An online store, maybe one of the most difficult problems here also. How would you design your own online store like Amazon? All of those problems are really, really hard. And maybe they can focus on something like, how would the checkout service work? You have specific problems like, for example, two people buying the same product at the same time, and you only have one available. That's a really good example that I always use. And that's really hard to solve. You need to use queues or something, or you need maybe to just give up about consistency. That's those are very important things. So let's see here on a quick example with the online store. As you know, you can just create a monolith solution that will work on the single computer with a single database, for example. You can always, but the number of users will always increase, and the number of developers also increase. And some in a specific moment that users can receive a denial of service. So you can vertical scaling, you can improve the machine, you can use a better hardware that will give you more memory, more speed for the CPU. Another problem that you can have is, for example, specific moments where there will be a huge number of people accessing your service. So for example, Black Friday. What would happen in a Black Friday? The number of users will increase a lot, so you can receive also a denial of service, because that was not something that you were expecting initially. So you can horizontally scale a monolith solution, for example. Use a load balance, for example, but you still have some problems here. For example, the database. Are you using a single database? Are you using a cluster? Or whatever. And the service that you are providing here, you can, for example, consider that you are creating, and also in an interview, you will be proposing services and designing classes and the model of the domain with your interviewer. So you need to think, I'm going to propose, for example, user service, product service, and checkout service. If I have a monolith, when I scale horizontally, I will have a copy of all those services that I'm proposing in each server. Maybe that's not the best option for you. And when you scale, you always need to think about the cap theorem. Those things are good for you to mention. It's also good for you to remember in your job that you need to think about consistency, availability, and partition tolerance. And you cannot have all three at the same time. You need to pick two. And when you need scalability, most of the companies at VanHack need scalability, and everywhere, everyone nowadays wants to scale, want to be able to scale for more people to be able to use your software. So if you want to scale, you need to usually give up, depending on the software that you are doing, you can give up, for example, consistency. You can have availability and partition tolerance. Partition tolerance allows you to have a lot of data in your database, and or consistency is very important for you, so you're not going to allow it to be available. You want just partition tolerance to have a lot of data and consistency, but not have availability. People will not be able, for example, to buy a product at the same time. So they will go to a queue, for example, to access a specific service or something. So those are very important things for you to study, keep studying and improving. And they are very good to be mentioned in an interview. So what's the architecture of your software? When you say that your software are an MVC, MVC is not an architecture. That's an architectural pattern. So what is an architecture? It can be a monolith, for example, or a service-oriented architecture. Most of the companies are not working with microservices. They are working with service-oriented architecture. They have some APIs, some services that can be independent, but not exactly microservice yet. So here an example, you can have some microservice for the online store, like the user service, the product service, and the checkout service. And they can be exchanging information with each other using a service bus, for example. You can also have your front end being the MVC. Can be, you can create your single page application using React or Angular or whatever. And you can have a cluster of databases, for example. And when you're dealing with service-oriented architecture, you can also scale. Obviously, you can scale horizontally. But now you can have, for example, the user service in a specific group of services, of servers, another one for the product service, another one for checkout service. And they will be interacting using the Enterprise Service Bus, for example, using messaging. And there are some really good books related to messaging, like the Enterprise Integration Patterns, where you will be learning things like this. Obviously, this system design problem depends on the job that you are applying to. So if you are a software architect, if you are a cloud architect, you should know a lot about those things. But if you are a front-end developer, you should at least understand how you should be calling the APIs that will be available from the backend. So you need to understand how we'll be offering by the backend for front, for example, the APIs that you can use. So those are interesting examples. And how can your front end also scale? There are some concepts interesting, like the micro front end and things like this that the professionals, the front end professionals should know about. But yes, another thing, if you're going to work with microservices, you're not supposed to have just those services here. No, it should have many other services that should be independent, like account service for an online store, the order, catalog, payment, search, marketing, cart, and many others. So if you're in the real interview, they are requesting you to design something related to an online store, they will probably focus on one of those. And in real life, in our jobs, we are will be focusing on different services here. And microservices can be very complicated to deal with different problems here. So not they are not exactly the best solution, and not doesn't mean that the company that you are going to work for are going to work with this. But it's nice for you to keep studying and learning those things. So here an example, you can have the catalog service, the cart service, and the order service, all of them with their own databases, and sharing something like the ID of a product. The catalog service, we have this ID. The cart service, we have the cart item ID. And in the order service, we have the ID of the ordered item. So they will be the same ID, but they should be independent, and you can scale them independently. That's the idea of microservices. Here, another example, we have also the account, this user account service, when we have the ID of this user. And we have some services like the cart service and the order service. And there are so many good questions that can be made in an interview, like, how are you going to know that a person that is trying to access, for example, the cart service is actually a client that is capable of adding something there or buying a product? So we can talk about tokens, JWT tokens, and other things. And you need to know how it works, what is inside of this JWT token, how you can validate this JWT token, for example. So it depends a lot on the job that you're applying to. And there are so many things to study. We have examples here, an example from Microsoft, from the online store, how to design those microservices here. And using different databases, you can see Postgres and SQL Server, Redis, Oracle database, and many other things. Another one, this one is showing the online store microservice from Microsoft. Here showing you the backend for front or the API gateway. So if they want to see your proposed solution for a system design and you are a cloud architect or software architect or a backend engineer, you should be able to at least show a little bit of your proposed solution, show how messaging works. Those are things that are very common nowadays. And you can talk about containers and other things also. But yes, and here you can also draw more related, create diagrams related to your cloud solution. Here we have using Azure services, also from Microsoft, and that's an example of a specific client there from them. But yes, so where to study and practice this design? Well, since it's a so open question, there are so many things that we need to study. Well, we need to practice. We can read books like The System Design Interview from Alex Hugh. That's a book that I have bought that is really nice. This other one that I have also bought, Designing Data Intensive Applications, it's really nice for me to know how to scale and deal with a lot of data. And practice, how to practice. We can see that we don't have here a way to practice without having someone else with us. So the Pramp is also an option. We can use Pramp to practice with other people around the globe. We can use the VanHack Premier Academy, and that's really nice. Sometimes we have special guests. There are also some technical interviewers, technical instructors that are work for big tech companies, and they have a lot of knowledge that they can help you, give you some tips. And there those problems that you're going to solve for system design problems, you're probably going to solve one day in your job. So it's nice for you to have all this experience, all this shared knowledge with many people around the globe. Yeah, so finally, you should enjoy the process. What I mean with enjoy the process is that it can take time for you to get your dream job. And learn is something very pleasurable. It's something that it's so fantastic to be always studying and learning. That's something, one of my things that I most like in life is to keep studying. It's really nice for me to discuss and solve interesting challenges that we are usually not solving in our daily jobs. So that's why it's so nice to have. If you are not in the VanHack Premier Academy or on using Pramp, you should have your group of colleagues and friends where you like to discuss problems, like technological problems, and that's really nice because you will all be sharing a lot of knowledge. You probably have friends working for fantastic companies. And as you know, in our profession, we should be always studying. Study alone sometimes can be very boring, can be very hard. So that's why it's so nice to be studying with so many people. Network opportunities, obviously, you will be knowing people working in many places, and maybe you're going to also invite one of those friends and colleagues to work for your company. Most of the companies have some kind of incentives for you to bring people to work with you, and if you really love your job, you will never leave your job because and you will be bringing more people to work with you. It's not about trying to just to get an opportunity that's paying more. It's about improvement and enjoying the process of learning. And you shouldn't be feeling anxious about a job opportunity, because I know that many of you are on the VanHack platform and was expecting to be able to find the dream job in just a few months, but maybe it can take more time. We will need to practice more. I know that many people are trying to do the interviews, not passing the interviews, but it's just a process. You should enjoy this process. And share knowledge is an amazing opportunity. You need to practice your English. So that's why I love to share knowledge, to practice my English, to verify if I'm able to explain something very well, if my thinking process is not very good at this moment, so I can keep improving all the time. So practice English. Can take months or years, so don't feel anxiety. You should enjoy the process. It's really nice to keep always learning, and stay calm, keep practicing. So as I said initially, it's not about interviews. The idea is here is to keep always improving, because as you know, there are so many versions of a software, of a framework that we use every day that have just been released. We need to study this new framework. Studying alone can be not so so enjoyable, so easy to do all the time. Sometimes we are trying to learn something that is hard to learn. So if you have someone to share and to talk about the problem, or something that you're also, when you're investigating a problem in your job, it's really nice to have someone that you can count on and discuss the problem, and you can share this knowledge. So basic concepts, you need to keep studying, like data structures and algorithms. I really love to practice on those platforms online that we have, like the HackerRank, LeetCode, CodeSino, CodeChef, TopCoders. There are so many out there. They shouldn't be used only when you have an interview. They should be used for you to keep practicing and be able to be faster when you are solving a problem, proposing a good solution, like using a very good data structure for a specific problem, like, for example, graphs and trees. Sometimes I see people asking, why should I know, why should I use in real life, for example, graphs? You use graphs to solve problems like the shortest path between your home and your girlfriend or boyfriend home. Or you then you're using, like, for example, Google Waze. Google Waze, you will be using, it's implemented there, the shortest path algorithm. If you're using, for example, the Uber, Uber is doing also running this algorithm. And if you're going to, for example, using a social network, all the friends that you have are can be seen as nodes, and all the friends are connected between edges. So that's a graph. And you know how to traverse a graph. You can use breadth first search, depth first search, and you know how to propose a good solution for this kind of problem. Or if you're going to have, for example, you are creating a software where you need to search a lot. Maybe you're not going to use Elasticsearch as a database. Maybe you want to search in memory. So maybe you need to use a binary search tree, or you should use just a dictionary. If you want, for example, to have unique elements in a list, you shouldn't be using a list, because it can take a big O of n squared to verify there is some repetition that's in that elements in that list. You can use a set data structure, the hash set, or the dictionary if you need also a value, not only the key. So there's so many things. So technical knowledge, you need to always keep improving, relearning new technology. How would you, for example, generate a unique ID in a scalable solution? Are you going to use any kind of technology that can allow you to do this? You shouldn't be using GUID or UUID, Universal Unique Identifier, for this, because it can have collision. It's not very easy to have a collision, but it can create something with collision. When you have something that scale, you should use something like Snowflake, maybe at some kind of technology like this. And sharing knowledge. You don't need to worry about sharing knowledge with your colleagues and friends and think, oh, they are also trying to get the same job as me or something like this. No, we learn much more when we are sharing knowledge. We need repetition. I've always learned in my life with repetition. I have taught in the university for many years for the graduation, post-graduation course of software architecture and also advanced algorithms and things like this. So with the repetition of my classes, I was able to actually be able to learn all those things really deep. So I know them now really well. And with this, if you meet people at least once a week for 1 hour, that's what I do in the Van Hack Premier Academy as a hobby and a way to keep studying and sharing knowledge with so many people. That's really nice. So you will be always trying, learning a new technology, evaluating a colleague's solution for something. And that's how we keep up to date. So that's it. Thank you all. If does anyone have any questions, here are also my contacts. And I'm sorry for talking so fast today, because there was so many content, and we can go deep now into questions. So please. What do we have here? So, yeah, it was amazing inspiration. Thank you. Yeah, please, Lisa. Yeah.
Hi, I'm back. Yes. First of all, everybody loved your talk. Everybody, we were looking at the chat. Everybody were like, you are awesome. And you're an amazing instructor. That everybody knows. And there are some people who are joining us from the spooky class as well. They know that last time you were the pirate.
yes, the pirate.
Yeah, I just saw that. Okay, let's move on to the questions. I'm going to show the questions over here on the screen. And yes, so there's a question by Edwin Phillip. I understand developers would need to be prepared with these topics for tech interview. How about other roles such as DevOps, QA? What topics should they expect in technical interviews?
Okay, great question. Yes, as I said initially, I'm a DevOps engineer working for an amazing company. And I can say, yes, it's different. They can ask you things related to DevOps. How would you solve a specific problem? And related to, for example, how would you create a pipeline to deploy some specific things? What kind of tests would you create? Are you going to propose? How would you guarantee, for example, that you are delivering a good software? So are you going to create what? Smoke tests? Are you going to create an end-to-end test? How are you going to provide and guarantee that there's a lot of quality in what you're doing? And are you doing code reviews, proposing? Do you have experience with this? They will probably ask you about your previous experience. If you used to work with something like Azure DevOps, Jenkins, and if you know how to deal with those things and how to manage. So will be not necessarily this kind of answers that I was giving here, providing here, but they can give you a problem like, imagine that it's an online store, how would you solve problems like this, or a job schedule problem, and you need to try to propose something for that specific system. So when I say system design, it's very generic and can be a very open problem. Maybe your interview will not find anything like those things that I said, but if you can look for one of those system design problems, for example, and you, with all your experience, you should be able to provide and propose good things to be implemented for that specific system. That's nice. For example, an online store, all professionals, all the job roles that you can find on VanHack, you will find in an online store like Amazon. All professionals here, everyone that is here today is able to provide something for Amazon, for example, Amazon or AliExpress or any other big company like this. So what can you offer for this company? What are you able to provide to them? What's your experience? What have you done before that could provide a better versioning system or whatever? So you always have something to talk about, and they will be asking you something like this. But yeah, I think I have.
Yes.
I hope I have asked at least a little bit to your answer. Thank you.
Awesome. Perfect.
Yes.
And the test, is it okay to do two frog questions with the company for a take-home test, or should we do the test by making assumptions? Abid.
Should we do the test by making assumptions? Yes, usually what they are doing, I have seen this before, with students on the university that I used to teach, and also I see on VanHack, even with colleagues, is that they will be sending you a challenge with not much information. Also, in a system design problem, they can just say to you, design an online store and be quiet. So they want to see if you're capable of communicating well to extract the requirements from them. They can just be quiet, and that's part of the test. They want to see if you're able to do this. The same thing when you receive a challenge. How would you solve a specific problem? How would you design a specific thing? So you should think in the best pattern that you know. If it's a service-oriented architecture, that's fantastic. If you are creating an API, great. If you're creating a microservice, nice. If you're going to create just an executable program that will be showing, prompting a black screen with something that they can type something, okay, do your best. You need to assume, if they are not giving you this information, you should just do your best and do good design patterns also. That's really important to be done. But yes, I hope I have also answered your question.
Yes, perfect. I'm sure you must have replied. And the next one, we're having a lot of really good questions. Do you teach interview tactics in the Premium Academy sessions, or we have detailed technical sessions as well? Abhijit.
Yes. Once a week, for 1 hour, I'm here at VanHack. that's a hobby for me. That's something that I really love to do and a way for me to keep studying. But yes, you have also amazing instructors that people from, also Francisco is from a big tech company. We have Pivoto that used to be my manager actually in the university and many others that are here. And they are very, they are detailed because what is done here is the problem, we bring a problem for you and then we just discuss the problem and we try to solve in 1 hour that problem. That's the idea. So we just bring, for example, how would you design your own Facebook or how would you design a newsfeed of a Facebook? And that's what they, what we do. We just discuss this. And there is a, we usually use something like Miro or something. We also provide some knowledge. We if there's something that we can also say, some theory that we can talk about and to make you remind of something. Like, for example, what are a graph, how to traverse a graph. Those things we usually bring. And then we discuss the things and share a lot of knowledge. So you're not learning with the instructor only. You're learning with everyone that is in the group. So that's the idea. And that's why I love this, because I'm not only there bringing knowledge for everyone. No, I'm bringing knowledge and learning a lot with everyone. So I'm a person that I'm very hunger for learning and learning more. So it's a way for me to keep studying with you all. And yeah, that's really nice how it's done.
Awesome.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you so much. We have another question from Pempre. When preparing for tech interviews, how important is it to know the full code implementation of verbose data structures like priority queues and heaps? Is it realistic that you can both implement these and answer the questions in 45 minutes? Over to you.
Yes, really, really nice. Also, let me just stop presenting as a So when preparing for tech interviews, priority queues and heaps. Priority queues. You have priority queues and heaps in some languages, like for example Java, you have the priority queue implemented. C++ also, you have this in the standard library of them, but you don't have on C#, for example. So you would need to implement it in real time. What I have done in many of my, I have some code that I prepared for myself to solve some code challenges in platforms like HackerRank. So I have my own priority queue that I use in C#. But yes, actually, you should be able to propose something if you don't have in the language that you chose. And you should know all the advantages and disadvantages of the language that you chose for yourself. So that's something that we need to be careful. And since we're both doing this as in 45 minutes, yes, should be. If you see that the language that you chose for to use in interviews is not good enough, maybe you should learn something different like Python or Java, but be careful because it should be the language that you most work with, that you are most familiar with. I mean, I use C#, for example, and I know that C# does not have this data structure, the queue and the heap by default. I have linked lists, I have dictionaries, I have lists, but I don't have this. But yes, that's the idea.
Because we're really short on time and we have another session coming up. It's the last question. So I'm always scared of algorithm, and I know for sure that this can be a good problem solver. How can I deal with my fear in such a way that solving algorithm is easy for me as a person, Rashid?
Good question. Yes, algorithm usually scare people because in our daily jobs, as I said, our daily tasks can be very monotonous sometimes, depending on what you are working with, or it can be always just the same thing, just create, read, update, lead using a database. So yeah, you need to practice a lot. That's the idea. So, and it's just like, it's just this kind of thing that you need practice. So that's why I say that we should always, just like you have your hobby, maybe you like to watch Netflix and you do this, for example, every week. Why not do at least once a week some code challenges on the internet? So that's the idea. That's a habit that we should have. Should create to be prepared for this. The fear itself, you shouldn't be, you will not feel fear if you practice a lot and create this habit in yourself. So that's the idea. Enjoy the process. The first thing is don't feel anxiety. Don't feel bad if you don't pass an interview for the first time. It happens to everyone, happened to me, happened to so many people. I'm studying algorithms. I started to work on platforms like HackerRank, etc., in 2015. But I have already studied a lot of algorithms before, and I was also using algorithms as a teacher, and on my daily basis also I worked on a web search application and things like this. So I see how important this is in our daily jobs, even as a DevOps engineer, because I need to create tools and other things. So that's why it's so important for me to keep practicing and also to have a good mind to for problem solving. But yes, don't feel bad about this. Don't feel this fear. You don't need to. Just practice a lot. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Gustavo, for this invaluable insights and for such, you know, this informative session regarding technical interview tips. So thank you so much. And everybody will be joining you back in 5 minutes with the next webinar. So stay tuned.
Thank you all. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Van Hack Podcast. Make sure to create your account at vanhack.com to access jobs that are hiring from abroad.